Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well, and welcome back to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. Sorry, guys. I just love talking to you guys so much. We are on, what is it, consecutive episode number 3, not in the studio. Okay. Let me explain my whole studio biz right now. So, one thing I want to say is I love getting out of the house, having my own workspace. I love having an office. Like, I love it. But for podcast recording wise, it's actually not very good. Like, it's not the right space. It's not like it's like a bad studio. It's not the right space. Basically, I can only go there and record on weekends because the offices next to me make too much noise during the week, which is fine because, you know, they're literally just like living their lives. Like, it's not a library. Do you know what I mean? But obviously, that's like not the reason why I got the office. So I can't actually do like the work that I want to do, which is fine. And I was meant to film on Saturday. I was actually going to film my podcast episode here on Saturday, but I forgot to charge my camera battery. So I'm recording it today on a Monday, which is why I'm not in the studio. And then I've also got another episode coming up with a guest, which we ended up filming here, because she was doing lots of bits and bobs and it was actually much easier for her to come here. But I will record an episode in the studio soon because I love my studio. Like, right, okay, so actually let me explain the whole thing with my studio. I love it, but it's too big. Like, it's way too fucking big. So I am looking to downsize. I unfortunately cannot get out of my contract, but very kindly they are looking for someone to replace me. Right, so I thought there was going to be like a lot of movement on it and I was going to be like, woohoo, hallelujah, I'll be able to get out of this really quickly. And I am very much coming to terms with the fact that I may just be there for the rest of the year. And look, it's fine because I still like the space. It's just not the right space for me. Do you know what I mean? So, oh God, let me mute my phone. Ah! Oh my God, sorry, so many notifications. Yeah, no, like I'm actually, sorry, what was I even talking about? Oh yeah, so it's very much a process for me. So like when I was actually talking to my dad about it, he's like, how you find the studio? I was like, good. I was like, I'm actually looking for somewhere new because it's too big. And he was like, oh, so that like, that was a fail, wasn't it? That was a failure. And I was like, do you know what? I was literally like, why? Like, do you mind? Like, my dad was being a bit of a dick about it. And I'm literally like, it's not a bad thing that the studio isn't right for me. It's just, this is all a process. This is the first working space I've ever gotten. And yeah, so he was being majorly negative about it. Does anyone else feel like that, like, their male relatives specifically, male relatives are like the most negative people to have ever walked the earth? And I literally think, I'm like, damn bitch, you live like this? Like, like, how on earth do you live like this? But so that's what's going on with the studio right now, is that I'm waiting for someone to take over my contract so I can move. But if I don't move, it's not the end of the world. I can just record episodes there on Saturdays because, sorry, recording podcast episodes isn't work. Like, I don't care what anyone says. This is not work. Like, this is fun. So literally on Saturdays, I like get up, do my makeup, travel to the studio. And obviously I tried to do that twice beforehand. And each time the station was closed again. I think finally, because I think there must've been works going on every weekend on the overground. So I think the works are like all finished. Oh my God, speaking of the works, the new overground line names, like, sorry, this is fun. I like the like, how is someone on Twitter already calling the suffragette line the suffigee? I'm so sick of this country. I can't even, to be fair, I was gonna say like which line is my line, but I don't want to dox myself. I'm very conscious of like accidentally exposing where I live. Do you know what I mean? But to be fair, I'm looking, guys, so we all know how I'm a North London babe. I actually think I'm going to move in September because basically my landlord put the rent up last year. And if he puts the rent up again, then we're actually being fleeced. Do you know what I mean? Like, this flat, as much as I love it and I've made it look so gorgeous and beautiful, it's not been touched in like probably 15 years, I reckon. Like, everything needs a fresh lick of paint. The bathroom floor is literally wooden floors with paint over them that are like chipping away. So I think if he puts the rent up again, we are going to move. I mean, I want to move anyway. I very much want to move more to East London. I know, like, I'm literally so predictable and typical, but, like, I am very much, like, I love moving to somewhere new. I love exploring new places. So, yeah, that's exciting. But today is very much more of a catch-up episode today. Oh, my God. Guys, I have an ingrown toenail. I have an ingrown toenail because I cut my toenail too short. You know what I hate about being 25 and up, being in the overs, is the fact that one day you just wake up with random aches and pains and you, like, actually have to go to the doctor. I actually saw Susie talk about in her recent YouTube episode, Susie Lola, if anyone doesn't know, get to know. She's literally my favorite YouTuber and my friend. And also, actually, I was going to, you know what? You guys wait and see. Actually, no, I'll say it. She's going to be the guest on my next episode. I've already recorded the episode and it was so fun. But anyways, Susie, who is, like, my absolute favorite, was saying in her new YouTube video, she was saying that, sorry, did I take a picture of, like, the topics I want to talk about on my phone? Basically, she was saying that, like, this year she wants to take, like, better care of herself, like, medically. And, like, I completely agree. Like, I have gone through my whole life not really looking after myself or my body. And I've been doing many things recently to look after myself. But before we talk about that, let me talk about my ingrown toenail quickly. So I don't know whether I've shared this before, but I really, really hate getting my nails done. I hate going to the nail shop. I hate getting my nails done. I just find that I just feel really fidgety. Like, that's the entire reason why I stopped getting acrylic nails done. Not because I didn't like the way they looked, but to be fair, I kept on injuring myself. Like, I kept on catching them and, like, really, really hurting myself. But I literally cannot be bothered to sit in the nail shop for an extended period of time. I really want to get my nails done soon. I just hate doing it. It's literally around the corner from me, the nail shop, and I just can't be bothered. But yeah, so I decided to cut my own toenails. I cut them too short, and now one of them is ingrown. And I don't know, there's something about having, like, an ingrown toenail that is just so embarrassing. So already I was in pain. And then I actually remember when I was on the overground going into work last week, this man kept stomping on my foot. And look, I get public transport a lot. I used to work in central London and commute 5 days a week. I have been on crowded tubes. I know the business. I know how it goes. But I was, like, sat down. The overground was pretty busy. But as it started to clear out, this man was, like, still in my space, still kept treading on my foot with the ingrown toenail, kept treading on my foot and, like, not even apologizing or any. Oh, and, like, this is what I like. And I feel like it's a man thing. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's a man thing of, like, not being aware or even conscious of the people around you and, like, your surroundings. Because whenever I find my personal space being impeded on, which doesn't happen that often, because again, I'm used to my personal space being impeded on. I live in one of the most populated cities in the world. Like, I'm used to it. But when it's, like, especially being impeded on, it's always from a man. It's always from a man. Guys, I know that I'm a man hater. Like, I know that I'm a man hater. We all know this here. But I have been extra hating men recently. Like, I will never forget the tweet of when someone said that men need to be born in prison and work their way out. Like, like, this is how I feel. And I say it to Lem, my boyfriend, literally all the time. Like, I go, men need to be born in prison and work their way out. I'm pretty sure he's absolutely sick of me saying it by now, but it's true. Sorry, so ingrown toenails. So I was like, oh, ouchie. Oh, for heaven's sake, guys, the doorbell went. 1 second. Guys, it was a parcel. Should we actually open it together? God, I'm never going to get onto this story about my ingrown toenail, am I? I know what this is as well. It's a Vinted parcel. I feel like I haven't done a good Vinted shop in a really, really long time because I found that I was actually wasting a lot of money on Vinted and I was just using it. Even though, like, it's ethical shopping and it's secondhand, I feel like I was, like, using it to fill my, like, shopping addiction. And I didn't want to do that. So I've, like, only scroll on there every now and again. I actually have ordered these and I ordered another pair of shoes. Let me show you. I feel like these are extremely love or hate. If you're listening, they are ballet flats, but they are green painted with like a buckle and they're open toe. Sorry, these are kind of a sleigh. Let me try them on. And also open toe shoes are perfect for my ingrown toenail. Oh, I'm not sure if I can try them on actually because my toe really hurts. Oh, these might actually be a smidge too small. Also, they're kind of hideous actually on the feet. Okay, so let me try and describe this to you guys. So basically I've put them on and they, like, the way that they fit is that they like squidge your big toe into like the middle of the shoe. This is off. This is so off. It looks like I have two toes. All right, we are reselling those. See, this is what I'm talking about with Vinted, is that a lot of the time it could be a flop. These are like so cute in theory, but when I tried them on, these are a flop, which is such a shame. I'm going to resell them if anyone wants them. Anyways, so back onto my ingrown toenail. So it was like really hurting, but it kept like coming in waves. But at the end of every single day, I would come back and it would be like throbbing, so painful. So I went on a night out on Saturday. So I was on my feet having a boogie, of course. And I then yesterday, it was just throbbing all day. And then this morning, I get in the shower and, guys, this is TMI, but I don't care. It was yellow, which means it's infected. So I was like, no. So I ended up texting my mom like what to do, because my brother also gets ingrown toenails. Are they hereditary? I don't know. But my brother also has this problem. So I asked my mom and she's like, well, I can take you to this lady to like get it sorted. Like, it's not expensive. So I'm like, okay, cool. Because I honestly considered getting private health insurance, because I was like, unfortunately the medical system, like the NHS in this country, is so broken that like it's so difficult to get a doctor's appointment. So I wake up this morning at 8:30, I'm in the shower. I notice that it's infected. I Google it. You need to get the infection sorted ASAP. Otherwise, it can spread to the bone and you can lose a toe. Like, sorry, I'm not losing my big toe. Like, to be fair, these shoes would actually look great if I didn't have a big toe. But no, we are not losing my big toe. So I'm like, look, it's so basically, if you're not from the UK, you don't know how the doctor system works here. To get an appointment at the doctor's, you have to ring at 8 a.m. and wait in a queue to get an appointment for that day. So by 8:30, all of the appointments are gone pretty much. But I try to, so I'm signed up to two different doctors. Naughty! I'm registered to two doctors. One doctor's around the corner from my house, which I've actually never been to. And then the second doctor's is my doctor's at home, which is like door to door. It would take me like 45 minutes to get there. So piece of piss, right? So I ring that doctor. They said there's no appointments left for the day. I think there's a junior doctor strike on the moment as well. And then I don't even bother trying to ring my doctors because the reviews of my local doctors are so bad. Every review is, it's impossible to get an appointment here, even if you ring on time. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bother. So I'm like, all right, well, what do I do now? I can either wait till tomorrow, try and get a doctor's appointment and possibly fail. All right. Failure is a very large possibility in this. And I'm in a lot of pain. And also I have a fucking infected ingrown toenail. So what am I supposed to do? So at this point, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to urgent care and wait for 5 hours, even though I have to like do work and things like that. And I'm someone that's in a privileged position. I work for myself. It's not like I'd have to like call in sick or anything. So I was like considering going to urgent care. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to book a private doctor's appointment online. And I paid 50 quid and for to be on the phone for someone for 10 minutes, I paid 50 quid. And then I've got to pay like non-NHS prescription price on the medication, because she was like, yes, that is an infected ingrown toenail. I was like, thank you. So yeah, and it's literally just like, it's highlighted to me like how broken the medical systems are over here. Like a lot of my medical problems, I've had to go private because like luckily I can afford it. But like so many people cannot afford it. And I've had to go private for my teeth as well. I don't have any problems with my teeth. It's more my jaw. I get lockjaw really, really badly because I clench my teeth. And yeah, no, so basically so I went to the dentist, guys. I went to the dentist for the first time in 9 years. Okay, hear me out as to why I didn't go to the dentist for so long. Honestly, I chalk a lot of it up to embarrassment. Like, I was embarrassed that I hadn't been to the dentist in so long. Also, because I hadn't been to the dentist in so long, I was like no longer registered at my old dentist. And again, in the UK, the way that it works is dentists take a certain amount of NHS patients and then a certain amount of private patients. More often than not, they take way more private patients than NHS patients. And basically, it's like impossible to find a dentist that accepts NHS patients, especially in London. It's really, really hard. So I also went private for the dentist appointment. And honestly, guys, for not going to the dentist for 9 years, she was pretty impressed by like the condition of my teeth. Like, I haven't got a single cavity. Woo! I do have to go to the hygienist tomorrow because she did a 3D scan of my teeth. Very bougie. She did a 3D scan of my teeth and it was rancid. Like, the backs of my teeth where you can't see. Disgusting, because obviously I haven't been flossing, I haven't been to the dentist in 9 years. So I'm going to the hygienist tomorrow. Next episode I'm gonna have a very bright white smile. But yeah, I'm actually getting my medication delivered because my foot really hurts. But it's okay. But so what are we gonna talk? So today I don't actually have any specific like topic. I'm literally opening my pictures and it's all just pictures of my toe. Bye. I don't have any specific like topics to talk about. Today's just going to be like a big catch-up episode because there's like many little things that I want to discuss with you guys, but like they don't warrant being the entire topic of the episode or like an entire portion of an episode. Does that make sense? So should we just get in with TV show I'm watching, book I'm reading, as you know, not book I'm reading, podcast I'm listening to, and song I'm listening to? Because I'm in my podcast bag recently. I've been listening to so many podcasts, especially investigative podcasts, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves. So TV show I'm watching and also movies I'm watching. Should we go through the movies first? So I watched Triangle of Sadness because my friend Alfie talks about Triangle of Sadness all the time. So I finally watched it, and a lot of people recommended I watch Triangle of Sadness after my scathing review of Saltburn. So Triangle of Sadness, what I will say is it's extremely on the nose. Like, it's a really, really on the nose class satire. There's literally one portion of the film where an American communist and a Russian capitalist read pro-capitalist and pro-socialist quotes to each other. Like, it's super, super on the nose. But I actually really, really liked it. There's a metaphobia warning, by the way. A metaphobia warning. There is a scene with a lot of vomit and shit. And it was so bad that it literally made me feel physically sick. And I'm not even scared of sick like that. Like, I'm really, really not. But it was disgusting. So just pre-warning you on that. But it's really, really good. It's basically about a luxury like yacht cruise, and it's about the guests, there we go. It's about the guests on there, it's about the staff, like it's about the whole shtick, the whole deal. A lot of people don't like this film. I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. I really liked it. And I feel like one thing that I thought the film did really well is I feel like it really perfectly portrayed sort of being a staff member on these like luxury yachts and things like this. So I actually went to like a luxury resort at the end of summer, so in August, with my friends, and I have not been to a resort since I was a child, and I really enjoyed myself, don't get me wrong, but one thing that I remember so clearly is how uncomfortable I felt talking to the staff and like communicating with the staff. And I know that sounds really, really weird, but like, and we were in Corfu, right? And I actually read a really interesting article about how the tourist industry is basically destroying Corfu because they're selling like private plots of land to hotel owners. And for 6 months of the year, the island is just rammed with tourists. And then the other 6 months of the year, it's a ghost town. So all of the majority of like the work in Corfu is seasonal because it's all about the tourist industry. And basically about how like, and so I read this article about how the tourist industry is actually really detrimental to Corfu. And so I just remember feeling really uncomfortable interacting with the staff because it's just like, you know, you're there and you're like, oh, I'm paying like a lot of money to be here, so I want to receive good customer service. But also I couldn't move past the fact that like I was paying all this money to be there. They were probably on minimum wage. They weren't allowed to use the amenities. They probably lived on site in like crap conditions. And oh, like it just made me feel so uncomfortable. Like I cannot describe how uncomfortable I felt when I had to interact with the staff, because obviously you pay a lot of money to be there, you want to receive good customer service, but then also you can totally understand being on the other end of it and like being like, I hate tourists and I fucking hate my job. And do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like it's really, really difficult to explain. But it's just something that made me feel like quite uncomfortable. And I think that Triangle of Sadness like really accurately portrayed that. And honestly, like as nice as of a holiday I had when I was in Corfu, I don't think I would do a resort holiday again. Like because, and I know it sounds like just because of that like really uncomfortable like power dynamic between the staff and the guests. Like, yeah. So I watched Triangle of Sadness. I also watched The Iron Claw at the cinema. I really think that the story of the Von Erichs is really, really interesting. And I really enjoyed everyone's performances. I also loved the way that the film looked because it was set in the 70s, right? So it had like, again, that very 70s kind of look. But what I will say is that I didn't think it was as good as everyone said it was. I know. I think that's like really, really controversial. But I did not think that the film was as good as everyone said it was. It was a good film. I gave it 3.5, but I don't know. I didn't think it was as good as everyone said it was. And I can't really explain why. I was just a tiny bit disappointed, but I still thought it was a good film. I also watched The Zone of Interest. If you don't know what The Zone of Interest is about, it's basically about the family. So the commander of Auschwitz, it's about him and his family who lived in a house next to the concentration camp. So in this film, you never actually see in the concentration camp ever, but you basically see them live their lives. And I remember one critique that I saw of this film before the film came out, it was a lot of people were worried about it, about The Zone of Interest humanizing these really, really awful, horrible people. But I found the exact opposite. I actually found, like, in a way, them living their lives normally, them being human beings, made this film even more horrifying. Like, it's to see someone just blasé, living their life like nothing is going on, is far more terrifying than having, like, a cartoonishly evil character. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was horrifying. Like, it's a really, really horrifying watch. Again, I do recommend it. I found there were some parts which I thought were a little too vague. Like, again, it was a film that kept, like, that left a lot of things, like, very vague. And I think there were some things which I wanted to be explored that they, again, left them like a little bit too vague, in my opinion. And also I found the second half, and again, I don't know whether it's one of those films where, because it doesn't follow a typical film structure of like beginning, you know, like the height of the film and then the conclusion, it very much like just followed these people living their lives. I found that towards the second half, it was like beginning to sort of like, I guess it's sort of, for me, I was beginning to like lose it a little bit. But I still thought it was a really good film. Again, I gave it like 3.5 on Letterboxd, I think. I thought it was a good film. I definitely think it's something that's worth watching. And I definitely think it's something that's like worth reading about as well. But again, I found that I was in the cinema, there was like a lot of choices that, it's directed by Jonathan Glazer. I felt like there was a lot of choices that he made that whilst I was in the cinema, I was like struggling to understand why he made them. But yeah, no, still a good film. I still recommend. And then the TV show I'm watching, of course I am watching Love is Blind. I think that this season of Love is Blind is probably one of the most interesting pieces of reality TV that I've watched in a really, really long time. And I have many, many thoughts about Love is Blind. So the first thing that I want to say is that I find that the treatment of AD in this season is making me feel really, really uncomfortable. And I find that I'm finding that it seems like a lot of the women, especially a lot of the white women in the show, are really fetishizing her, like making comments about her body. I think one of them made a joke asking her fiance to slap AD on the boob. And then when Jimmy said, oh my God, AD is stacked, to his fiance, by the way, which is crazy, absolutely crazy to say that to your fiance. Chelsea immediately goes, oh my God, Jimmy just said you have an amazing ass. Or so, like, it just feels so uncomfortable to me. And I actually feel really, really bad for her. And again, I think a lot of these women are, you know, are being very fetishistic of AD and are choosing to sort of like play into their partner's like attraction to her because they feel threatened by her. Absolutely. I think that AD probably makes a lot of these women feel really insecure because she's so gorgeous. Not that she isn't doing anything. She's literally just being beautiful and existing. And I think that a lot of these women feel really, really threatened by that. And I just really like that. It's making me feel so, so uncomfortable. So there's that. And there is, so obviously we have to talk about Jimmy and Chelsea. If you haven't been watching Love is Blind, I'm going to do a very quick TLDR. I cannot get over how cute these shoes are in theory, but they're just so hideous on. They literally make me look like I have two toes. Here are the players in the game for anyone that isn't watching and doesn't care about spoilers. So there is Jimmy, there is Chelsea, and there is Megan, and there is Trevor. Let me tell you, Trevor, different gravy. Different gravy. That man is fine as hell. So we've got Trevor, who is dating Chelsea. Chelsea, who is dating Trevor and Jimmy. Is her name Megan? Yeah. Like, to be fair, I might get that wrong. Megan, who is dating just Jimmy, and Jimmy, who is dating Megan and Chelsea. Are you guys staying with me? Important factors to know is that Megan is a single mom. Wait, is she a single mom? Yeah, no. She's a single mom. She has a daughter, but she co-parents. So basically, Jimmy ends up has to choose between Megan. Wait, no, her name's not Megan. Her name's Jessica. Oh my God. Has to choose between Jessica and Chelsea. And during their dating, Chelsea says that that people tell her that she looks like Megan Fox. And Chelsea is very beautiful. And to be fair, the more I watch the show, I'm like, she does look like Megan Fox. But she looks like Megan Fox back in the day. And also, when you tell a man who is stupid, that people tell you that you look like Megan Fox, he is going to have a very specific image in his head. Like, Chelsea looks like a younger Megan Fox, but Jessica actually looks like that more modern day Megan Fox. Do you know what I mean? So that's something that's important to factor in. And it wasn't like, I see a lot of people defending Chelsea for saying that, she looks like Megan Fox. But what I will say is that Chelsea was very much like she wanted to say that. It wasn't that like it just slipped out in conversation. She literally said, she went, do you ever get told you ever, by the way, also one thing that pissed me off about Chelsea, and normally I root for people like Chelsea because Chelsea is very much like she isn't being treated right by her man. And I don't like watching that. And I very much root for women like that in this show. But Chelsea, for some reason, I can't particularly get behind. And I think the reason why is because I think that she was not staying true to the experiment. One thing that I really, really hate about some people that go on Love is Blind is the people that don't want to actually stick to the rules. You aren't supposed to be talking about the way that you look. And Chelsea had said multiple times, asking people what they look like. She asked Trevor if he had a mullet, and like, and he, and they ended up, he ended up saying that he does have a mullet. And she ends up, so says to him, does anyone ever say you have a celebrity doppelganger? And he was like, yeah. She doesn't even ask him who it is. She goes, people actually tell me I look like Megan Fox. Like, that's basically how it went. It was, she was clearly gagging to tell him. And a lot of people think that Jimmy chose Chelsea over Jessica because Chelsea said that she looked like Megan Fox. I actually don't agree with that. I think that Jimmy chose Chelsea over Jessica because Chelsea doesn't have a child. Jimmy is not ready to be a stepdad. And that's something that Jessica really wanted, is she wanted someone who would be an active father figure for her daughter. And Jimmy wasn't ready for that. And I think that's absolutely well in his right. So the reveal ends up happening. Jimmy chooses Chelsea. Chelsea obviously has to tell Travis that she chose Jimmy over him, even though I actually think that Chelsea and Travis were actually better suited. But I do genuinely think that Chelsea chose Jimmy over Travis because Jimmy chose her over Jessica. You know, I think that both Chelsea and Jessica are two very beautiful people. And I hate to like feed into this sort of the whole talk with beauty standards and things like that. But the way I'm going to try and word it is that Jessica fits modern day beauty standards more than Chelsea. I don't think that that makes Chelsea less beautiful or anything of the sort. But if we're saying it very, very frankly, Jessica fits modern day beauty standards more than Chelsea. Even though they both, like, not being funny, I think that they both look like they both have a very similar look. Like, I really don't think that they look that different at all. They both, you know, have long hair and they wear makeup and they're very beautiful. Like, and they're very girly. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think they're a pretty similar subtype. But I think that Chelsea chose Jimmy because she was picked over Jessica. And I think that that very much stroked her ego. I could see the cogs were a turning. And they end up seeing each other. And Jimmy says that Chelsea lied about the way that she looked. And I think saying that she lied about it is a bit far. But it was very clear that Chelsea did want to tell Jimmy that people say that she looks like Megan Fox, which, to be fair, she does. Like, she does look like Megan Fox. She looks like a young Megan Fox in Transformers. She actually really, really does. So that's what is going on right now. And unfortunately, Chelsea is very, very insecure in the relationship. And that's what's... And I just think it's absolutely fascinating TV. Because... And especially when you meet Chelsea's friends as well. Chelsea's friends are all like, oh my God, Jimmy's a hot commodity. Like, clearly they value... you being chosen, you winning the man who so many women want as an achievement, which is not like the goal of life at all. Oh my God, you do. Most of the time, girls, you do not want the men that all the ladies want. Like, you really, really don't. But yeah, it's just absolutely fascinating TV. Fascinating TV. So next podcast I'm listening to, guys, I have been in my podcast listening bag. I have been listening to so many podcasts recently. So what have I been listening to? So the first thing is I've been listening to a lot of investigative podcasts. So I listened to two podcasts on the BBC, one about mad cow disease. That was actually really interesting. Another one about the X Factor. I also listened to this one by Wondery, who did a podcast about Miriam Rivera, which I actually listened to for research on a video I did a couple years ago. And they, guys, this podcast that I'm about to tell you about is one of the best podcasts I've listened to in years. It's called Hooked on Freddy. And I'm not going to reveal much, but all I'm going to say is that it's about a man who gets accused of wanking off a dolphin. It is one of the best podcasts I've listened to in a really, really long time. Like, I highly, highly recommend listening to Hooked on Freddy. And then the podcast I'm listening to currently, again, another investigative podcast, is it's from the BBC and it's about Shamima Begum. I actually did not know that much about the Shamima Begum story at all. And funnily enough, I was listening to it at the same time that the second... What did I get? Like, her citizenship status got reviewed. And again, she isn't having her citizenship, what's the word? Like, given back to her. I know there's like a better word for that. So I actually really did not know all that much about the Shamima Begum story. And I would say about, what I will say about this podcast, that this podcast is extremely fair. I know that Shamima Begum is a very, it's a real hot button topic. Like, it's a real, topic that gets people, you know, very upset and very emotional. And obviously I don't want to make anybody feel upset or like heated. But also I think that this podcast is extremely fair in the way that it investigates not only how she managed to get herself over to, how her and her friends managed to get themselves over to Syria in the first place, but literally her life there, when she lived there. She also had children. Basically her entire story. And, you know, it explores, you know, I think that, of course, I think it's a tricky one because, you know, we obviously need to factor in the fact that she was radicalized. She was radicalized and she was a child. And, you know, we need to factor in all of these things. But also in the UK, there's like a criminal responsibility age. So basically, if you commit a crime over a certain age, you have to like go to court for it and you will be held responsible. Obviously, you won't go to like an actual prison, but you will go to like a youth detention centre or something. So for example, the crime responsibility age in this country is 10 years old. So if we were to put, like if we were to charge Shamima Begum, she would very much be of an age to be charged with a crime. So I understand that, but also another thing that I definitely understand is like the horror and like the crimes of ISIS, obviously. You know, I think when we think of like crimes that ISIS committed, we often think of crimes that happened in the West. We often think of terrorist attacks. We think of attacks and shootings and bombings that happened in England and France and America. But something which I think a lot of people, at least in the West, don't even, you know, forget to consider, including myself, is, you know, the crimes that ISIS committed against the Syrian population. You know, so many Syrians were forced out of their homes, were made refugees by ISIS. You know, and these things that we really, really need to consider. And I think that the podcast did a really, really good job at that. I think it's extremely fair. And I think that it tells the story that I literally did not know anything about. And I think, you know, above everything, my opinion on it is that regardless of what someone has done, I don't think some people should be allowed to have their citizenship stripped of them. Like, I think that because it was the Conservative government that stripped her citizenship. And I think that they honestly just did it to prove a point and to like make a case out of her and to make an example out of her. And I think that that is a really horrendous way to govern the country. I think that it sets a really, really scary precedent. And I just think regardless of what someone has done, they should not be left stateless. And I literally saw a tweet this morning from Jacob Rees-Mogg, who is like a Conservative politician, saying that she never should have had her citizenship stripped from her. And I completely, completely agree. Especially when you hear that her, you know, all of her children died. Two of them starved to death and the other baby died because of the poor conditions that she was living in this... Is it like a refugee camp? I guess. And, you know, just to think that one of her child's lives could have been saved if her citizenship had been stripped is like really, really sad. You know, because these are children that haven't done anything. But yeah, no, sorry. God, sorry. I feel like I spoke about something really intense. But I really, really recommend the podcast. It's really, really interesting. And I think, again, above everything, I think it's extremely fair. I think it's extremely thorough. Yeah, good listen. Songs I've been listening to. What songs have I been listening to? I don't think anything has changed from, oh my God, guys, I've been, oh my God, Lem has clogged up all of my searches because we were playing songs in the Uber the other night. I've been listening to so many podcasts. I haven't listened to a ton of music, but I have been listening to DJ Heartstring. Look at me, guys. I'm so techno. So shall we just talk about like what I've been up to? This is basically just like a big catch-up episode of like what I've been up to, just things to talk about, like sorry, I'm really tired already. I don't know why, I've barely done anything today. I ate a pretty big lunch. Have you guys had Spam and Rice before? I'm pretty sure it's like a recipe that's really popular amongst East Asian households, because all the TikTok tutorials I saw of it, where people are saying that, oh, like my mum used to make this for me when I was a child. But basically, so Spam and Rice. So first of all, I use like the microwave, like sticky rice packets. And for the Spam, I like cut it up into really small pieces. And then you cook it, you fry it in oil, and you make sure that it's nice and crispy. And then you make your sauce, which is soy sauce, mirin, and brown sugar. Mix it all together, cook it in, it gets nice and sticky and sweet. And apparently it's meant to be served with eggs, but I don't really like eggs. I have like, that's a lie. I like egg yolks, which I feel like is like, this is quite niche thing of mine. Like, this is pretty, pretty niche. I hate egg whites, but I love egg yolks. I've never tried a scrambled egg, to be fair, but I don't think I'd like it. Like, do you guys ever like smell foods and you're like, when I get pregnant, I'm going to hate the smell of that food. Like, that's how I feel about eggs. But I do love a good egg yolk. Like, I love dippy eggs. No, stop. I'm literally so passionate about dippy eggs. But I didn't have it with eggs because I only have eggs when they're going to be dippy, because obviously you're truly making the most of the yolk, but I will not crack an entire egg for the sole purpose of the yolk. Like, that's such a waste. Not unless Lem is around and I can give him my egg white. Guys, egg whites smell like farts. Everyone's going to hate me for saying that, but it's true. Like, there's a reason why. There's definitely particular foods where like people get like the fear of them, and egg being one of them makes total sense. Like egg fear. Also chicken fear. Like, I love chicken, but sometimes when you eat a piece of chicken that's like really juicy, I get like a little bit of chicken fear. On Saturday, guys, it was finally the finale of the season of 1,000 birthdays. If you listen to my like first episode of the season, you will know that basically between January and February, all of my friends' birthdays line up. So it was, all right, let me start this from the top. It was Jake's, then Elena's, then Eleanor's, then Herbie's, then Alia's, then Lena's. So 6 birthdays in a row, all in succession of each other, bang, 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 every weekend. And it's a lot. And I finally had the finale of the birthdays. And now I don't think we have another person's birthday until April. Yes! Yes! Oh, guys, it feels so good. To be fair, I've had a really great time. I even went sober at Eleanor's birthday party and it went really well, guys. I didn't drink and I had a great time, and I woke up the next day and I was just a little bit tired. But we did day drinking for Lena's birthday yesterday. We played some games. What else? Went to the Knight's House. Classic. It was so much fun. And I had a great time, but obviously I am just so, so happy for the season of finale of 1,000 birthdays to be over. One of the birthdays actually was so fun. My friend Herbie played this game called Cow and Chicken, which, if you don't know, it's like a pub. So I didn't go to university, right? So I've never been on a pub crawl before. So I was like, woo, pub crawl. Basically, how the pub crawl works is there's like a bunch of names in a hat. First of all, we all put a tenner into a pot. So there's like 20 of us, so like 200 quid. We all put a tenner into a pot. And they draw two names, and those two are the cow and the chicken. You have to put a cow and a chicken costume on, hide in a pub in the area, and spend everyone's money until they find you. And every pub that they go into, they have to have a drink. So I was fully ready to pub crawl it up. I was the cow! I didn't even get to do the pub crawl! To be fair, I looked so slay in my cow outfit, but let me tell you, absolutely embarrassing walking around. Was I in Forest Hill or Forest Gate? I think Forest Hill. Humiliating walking around Forest Hill, going into a proper old man's local pub in a cow outfit with my chicken by my side. I didn't even know the guy who the chicken was. It was he's now my friend, Peter, but I'd never like met him beforehand. So honestly, it actually felt like we were on a date. Obviously love my boyfriend, but you know, it was literally like being on a date with someone. It was crazy, but it was so fun, and he was great, and he was such a gentleman because he always went up and got the drinks for me because I was so embarrassed. Like, it was so embarrassing, but yeah, no, that was so much fun, and I was very, very proud of myself for doing my first pub crawl, Jamie, even though I didn't actually get to do it, but it's okay. To be fair, if I did it, I probably would have been like on my ass, so drunk. I think we actually left at 10 because we wanted to try and get the overground home, because Herbie lives in South London. Exhausting. But also we fell asleep on the overground and I slept through the whole journey. We woke up before, thank God. Oh, wait, no, did we? No, it terminated at, like, Dalston or something. Yeah, sorry. It feels so weird not having any, like, specific topics to talk about. You know what? I think I feel like I'm running out of video ideas a little bit. But you know what I kind of want to do? I want to do, because you know what my favorite video ever was? My favorite video ever was the Wagatha Christie one. That was so fun. And I think I actually want to make a video about like either like a phone hacking scandal or like some sort of British scandal. You know, like the News of the World were actually a wild newspaper. And I very much want to make a video about that. But we shall see. So what to talk about next? Oh my God, guys. I'm halfway through my ADHD assessment. Had the first half of it last week. It was literally just like a general mental health checkup, just to like see if I'm okay. And then I've got my second one on Saturday. God, I'm actually like chock-a-block with appointments this week, like medical appointments. Check me out. Like, I've got my smear test today. Guys, I'm so scared. Oh my God. Like, I'm fine. I actually trimmed my bush for it, so you're welcome, whoever's going to do my smear test. But I've told the story before about my traumatic NHS gynecology appointment. So I'm pretty scared. I'm pretty, pretty scared. But I think it'll be okay. You know what? I've just got to get out of the way. Like, I've just got to get out of the way. It will be fine. So I've got my smear test today. Tomorrow I've got the dentist. Thursday I've got my ADHD assessment. And then this weekend, it's my little sister's birthday. I actually need to borrow a present. My little sister's birthday, she's turning 7. So I need to get her a present, and then me and Lem are going to go see her and just hang out with her because she's great fun. Yeah, no, to be fair, I just want to do more like, I want to do some more wholesome day activities. It's just hard to do wholesome day activities when the weather is so crap. Like, I am not in a wholesome day activity mood if it's just like gloomy outside. Like, I think, again, isn't it March soon? Yeah, it's March in 4 days. March is a coming. And we all know how much I dislike March because it's the longest month and the weather is always crap. I actually listened to this really interesting TikTok where someone said that living in London is quite hard because you're basically living in a place where everyone, for 6 months of the year, everyone is waiting for the next 6 months of the year. And I think, like, relatable. Like, and the thing is, usually I'm like, I can get in the winter groove of things. Like, I can do this, but I think it's beginning to drag a little bit now. Like, I'm getting a little bit sick of it. I just want to go out without tights on. I just want to go out without a hideous jacket on. Yeah. What else? Oh my God, isn't it crazy that I'm basically going to wrap this podcast episode up here? This feels like such a short episode. Oh my God, no. But also, I just have not got a lot to talk about today. I haven't been that, like, enthralled with pop culture recently. I don't know. Oh my God, guys, I'm losing my sparkle. The last thing that I actually want to talk about today is, first of all, new hair colour. New hair colour just dropped. We're back to red. But you guys obviously can't see it because my hair is tied up right now. But guys, my hair is looking so good at the moment. So if you guys don't know, I had extensions and I bleached my hair for the longest time. My hair was so damaged. I thought I'm never going to be able to live my life without a full head of like 150 microlink extensions. It was the trenches. And I went to a different hairdresser and she did a few tapes at first. And then she was like, look, I think that you could actually do without them and like let your hair heal and grow properly. And now it's in such good nick, guys. Like it looks so, so good. I'm going to show you guys in my next episode. I'm going to make sure I have my hair down so I can tell you guys all about it. But yeah, I'm going to wrap this episode up here. Sorry it's a little bit of a short one, a little bit of just a random catch up, but I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm getting really tired and I feel like I have nothing to talk about at the moment. but yeah, I will see you guys soon for another episode. Bye.